accent.
Okay, you all ready to blast?
Ready.
Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim. So we're still missing a few people, but in spite of that, Jennifer, what was it like doing the greeting using my knowledge?
It was, it allowed me to observe more and not react so much.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's, Dan, you could use that. I'm not making fun of you.
I know.
What was your experience with it, Sam?
Just felt a sense of confidence.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you have every reason to be. You know, I've gone through that thing, if I understand you, in terms of what you're saying, God, that's the story of my life. I have emotionally been available to everybody else's, particularly in close relationships, to everybody else's supposed or actual feelings. And it's always affected me. In fact, there was a point when, this is quite a long time ago, but if the person I was with was angry for any reason, And I didn't discuss it with them to find out, I felt guilty. I assumed I was the cause of their anger or their sadness. And finally, a lady that was with called me on it. And it was amazing how much it shut me down being in that state. I know you're not probably anywhere near in that condition, but it's been a long sort of road to realize that whatever somebody else is going through, they are choosing to go through it. I do not cause it, because we all have choice. Although we're taught, particularly in religious circles, that we cause other people's pain. From a magical point of view, that's ridiculous. Nobody can, as Abraham says, no one can create in your reality. You cannot create in anybody else's reality. But it takes having enough experiences before you're able not to, say, be so affected by what other people go through.
I agree with that.
Yeah, well, it takes time.
I think it helps to take on water boxes.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I mean lots of water. Like, you're feeling that, oh, I've got too much emotion. This needs to go. But I found that it's actually a depletion in water below and the characteristics.
So you're actually down, not really up in the real emotions.
Yeah, and I
That's a really good point.
it's helped me a lot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because if you're deplete of water blue, then you're probably going to have more air and fire, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the feelings are, these sort of disturbing feelings that we're talking about are more part air and part fire and a little water.
Would you think that maybe if you were depleted in water blue, that you would be more readily taking on the other person's?
Their feelings?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you have no intuitive defense.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, like, 6 or 8 boxes. Thoughts.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Would you actually have to do that in the bathroom, though?
Well, just stick out your tip and your characteristics.
No, I mean since you're taking on so much water.
Oh, no, but it did lift my tone, I felt. I felt it just really soothing and that. And my first reaction was, I can't take any more of this. It's too much water in me. But I think it was just the opposite.
Yeah, it doesn't tend to affect you physically. That would be if you did a low water bowl. And that doesn't affect everybody the same either. So, what kind of things have you done with readings this week, Dan?
I haven't had an opportunity to do anything this week. Not with readings. I've done other things, but not anything with readings.
Because, this is the last week of Tarot, so...
I feel real good about it.
Yeah, do you have any readings you've done that you want to talk about, or you do feel confident about your readings?
I feel pretty good about them. I really do. I had done some in the past weeks, but I just haven't done anything this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have any problem, deciding on what they were about either.
Oh, good, good. Well, it would be real good to experiment with some multiple signifiers when you can. Jennifer, how about you?
I bet I've done 15, but I don't know. I'm not comfortable with them. I didn't know that I was doing them right. I didn't blow out my wisdom and protection candles snuff them between readings.
Well,
and I've been blowing out my candles.
It's, I don't think it's a huge deal.
Oh, okay.
And then procedure says to do so. Interestingly enough, when we talk about progressions and regressions, that's one time when you don't. But I think it's better to have kept them lit than to forget to light them.
Oh, okay.
You said something about you're not sure if you did them right?
Well, interpret them. I'm taking 2 cards a day. I'm reeling the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd worked on it before, and I made me some index cards and all that, but that's not as good as picking 2 cards and looking every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did readings and... I did one on Craig's Got a Brother that's really hard.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, he got in a car wreck, and gee, they just about pulled his legs off and that kind of thing. So I did one on him, but I used, should have used the King of Wands, and I used the King of Discs.
Oh.
But I saw him in that card.
Well, so if you saw him in the card, then what you would get in that reading is how he is in regard to material affairs.
But that's very true, because I picked up in the past line, and I felt it went right up to the future line.
Right.
That his past line read like winner take all.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one of his lawsuits is going to come through. He seems like an awful lucky guy. But there's no reason for his, it happening to him. It doesn't look like he's any genius or anything like that. You know what I mean? I don't feel comfortable what the cards are meaning. The cards are meaning. I write down what they're kind of their general tone,
uh-huh.
Whatever. And then by the time I get through drawing my lines in that, it's like, what in the world is this going to tell anything? I can't seem to relate to it. Is there any tricks there, or?
Well, you have to let it tell you a story. It's always harder when you're reading to yourself,
mm-hmm.
than if you're reading to someone else. But you kind of learn to look at the story that's there, and the lines help tell the story. Do you have that reading?
Yeah.
In front of you?
I can.
Yeah.
But I thought, geez, this is just so bizarre, you know, I better wait until class. I got what is going on in Robert Oakes' life.
Okay. Take, I don't care, either the positive or reverse, either line starting in the past.
Okay.
But take the one that would have the furthest reach back.
Every card in that past line has a major arcana.
Okay, so you know what that means.
It's past life.
Yeah, but that means more than that. If you have a reading in which there are a lot of major arcana cards, particularly if they're base cards, it's talking about a person that in the past has had a spiritually fairly strong, they've been strong in that, in spirit. And when you get a lucky person like you're talking about, that's what that's about. They've had a lot of other lifetimes in which they've developed their spiritual side. But it may not be this lifetime. So then, are there major arcana base cards?
Yeah, I've got justice and reverse judgment.
Okay. So take justice. What's the second card?
Eight of cups.
Okay. So what that's saying is that in another lifetime, maybe in his past lifetime, he lived a lot by higher laws. He maybe even knew about them or aware of them, but he lived according to them. And that helped to transform his emotions. So is that so difficult a thing to?
Yeah, I wouldn't got that at all.
Why not? I'm just giving you what we say the cards mean.
Yeah. Justice is the universal law. And the Eight of Cups is emotional fulfillment.
Is what?
Emotional fulfillment, crawling out of the water?
No, it's not. It's not emotional fulfillment. It's emotional transformation.
Oh. Okay.
It's walking away from base emotions, the swamp. Walking out of the swamp.
And the swamp is base emotions?
Yeah. Alligators, okay. Crocodiles, dirty water.
Okay, so I didn't get that off that 8 of cups. I'm keeping studying.
Okay, so that's what happened in a past life. Now, where does the line go up?
I thought it went plumb to the future line, to the Emperor Forest Hordes.
Okay. The cups. So, in the present line or in the past line, there is no other upright or second card major arcana?
Next in the past is the Knight of Discs, seconded by the Tower.
Okay, how do you know it doesn't go there?
Well, I drew it from there to the Justice card.
No, you can't do that.
Why?
Justice card is further back.
Based on its number?
Based on its base card, Major Arcana.
Oh, okay.
That's the law. That's the rule. It's just a simple rule. Base card, Major Arcana go farther back than a second card, Major Arcana.
Okay.
Now, in the present line, is there no cups, upright, base card, Major Arcana upright, base card, or second card cups, or second card Major Arcana?
No, the only upright on the present line is Six of Swords, seconded by the Ace of Wands.
Okay. So then you're probably right. It probably goes over to the Knight of...
The Emperor, seconded by the Four of Swords.
Up
to the future.
No. We're not going to the future yet.
Okay.
You said in the past line, there is another Major Arcana second card.
But it's reversed.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that.
Okay.
So, in the past line, there is no other Major Arcana upright.
No.
Okay.
And there's only one upright. In the present line.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay.
So, what else is in the past line?
Reverse Judgment, seconded Ace Disc. Reverse
okay.
Three Discs, seconded by Temperance.
So, what was it? I'm sorry, the next one?
Seconded by Temperance.
I couldn't get the first card.
Oh, Reverse Three of Discs.
Oh, Reverse Three of Discs. Okay. And what else?
Reverse Judgment. Seconded by Ace of Discs.
Yeah, you've only given me three cards.
Okay, Reverse Judgment, seconded Ace of Discs.
No, you've only given me three positions. There must be a fourth position.
In the past?
Yeah.
That was the Knight of Discs Tower.
The Knight of Discs Tower.
And you said that the Justice went from...
Well, now, why are we having this argument? So that's what I was just telling you, that the Justice goes to the Knight of this tower.
Yes.
Okay?
I thought we were done with that.
Well, no. We haven't talked about it.
Oh, okay.
So what would you think the Knight of this tower would refer to?
Winner take all, an outside, and then the beyond him. An outside change.
Can you make it more real to him? Tell a story about it. What are knights about?
Charging off to war? Defending
no, they're
the,
not charging off to war.
Defending the castle?
No. It's a lot of energy and passion. So, here's a guy, because of what he is done spiritually in another lifetime. He has come into this lifetime, and he has a lot of energy and passion and force in manifesting on the material plane. Night it is. And with the second card, Tower, he uses it, he's able to ride the wave of change effectively. Now, does that sound like him? No?
No, I don't think so. He does have a lot of energy and passion, and I've noticed he can manifest things.
That's what I just said.
But as far as change goes, I think he fights it.
I'm not talking about that. What he does with change, I'm saying he is able to use all the change that's going around. It's sort of like, not a con man, but a person who's able to manipulate things or make things happen. It's because they're connecting. See, you can't, when you try to talk about a person being lucky and being able to manifest, they're not actually accomplishing that on the world plane. So they're using the place where manifestation is the easiest is where there is a lot of change going on.
Okay.
That's why it's the Tower and not Death. It's because he is able to connect with that energy of change. He may not like change personally at all, but that's not the point. The point is that he connects with the energy of change to be able to do the things he does. That's what it's all about. I mean, your first statement was not incorrect. It just was not enough. And it was not, you always need to be defining it in terms of the cards, not just a general statement. Later on, you can do more, but I'm trying to help you learn how to tell a story.
Okay, you say define with the cards.
Stay with the cards. In other words, what was the original statement you made?
I don't remember.
Oh, something about a winner, being a winner. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, winner take all.
Winner take all, right. Okay. That's not incorrect. That's a really good statement, okay? But what I'm trying to get you all to do is not to bypass the individual cards, where you need to say that, okay, the Knight means someone that has a lot of energy, like a teenager. So the Knight is a person with a great deal of energy and force and direction towards their goal. And because it's this, it is in the world of manifesting money and things and so forth. And because the second card, Tower, is he does it by connecting with the energy of change on a higher level. So now you've cut cards. Then if you want to say, and this is a person who seems to operate as winner-take-all, that's fine. You've got to cover each card.
Okay.
So if you would make a time to get together with me, I'll sit down and go over that reading and help you to learn how to tell a story about it.
Okay, I'm going to work on them a while though before I call you. I got a whole bunch I did to practice.
Okay.
And
we'll pick several and we'll just go over them.
Okay.
So, any questions on any of this before we talk about progression? I suppose I should mention what the exit ritual, walking in flow, I believe. Let me just check. Yeah, walking in flow. Okay. There's video clips on both progress readings and on spell sendbacks, which is fairly important. So obviously with a 12-card reading, it's in a certain time frame. The past, we don't know how far back that goes. The present is, I've never known how to define the present. Is it a day, a week? Probably for most of us, the present is around a week. It could be more. And then the future is whatever your reach is, 2 weeks, 30 days, something like that. But if you want to know either more about, well, what created these conditions further back in the past, or if nothing is changed consciously on my part, what will be the, so to speak, intended outcome further into the future? You can do that. And it's called progressing or regressing a reading. It's really easy to do. If you want to progress a reading, i.e. walk it into the future, of course you start off with, and this can only be done on a 12-card, you start with a base reading on anything, you know, but it's generally easier to identify it, particularly when you practice, and please do this. Do it on yourself. I did one on you, Jennifer, and I walked it back. It was really interesting. It went right back in two regressions. It went back to where you I could see where you started studying magic and all the effects it had on you. So what's that? Almost a year ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, here lately, by using my knowledge, I've been noticing all the things that are gone, and I'm glad.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, all the nasty things you tell yourself, and it just doesn't happen anymore.
Indeed so.
Very nice.
So you first throw the base reading, the regular 12-card reading, record it in your book of shadows, and leave room to put in at the top, the however many future lines you're going to throw, however far in the future you want. So then, after you've recorded the reading, you don't put out your candles. You pick up the entire past line, put it back into the deck on your plate. Your deck should sit on your plate. And then move the present line, the entire present line, to where the past line was, based on second card. And then move the entire future line to where the present line was. So now you've got an empty future, but it's a second future, because your future line is now sitting where the present was, i.e. right by your signifier. So now you take the deck, you shuffle it three times, you lay it into three stacks, pick it up by which is most energy and so forth, and you throw a new future line, base cards and then second cards, and record it. So now you've walked it one step in the future. If you want to do another one, pick up, see what that would have been, the present line, well, whatever is the bottommost line, just pick it up, put it back in the deck, move everything down, and throw another one. Always, you have to shuffle and divide into three stacks and pick them up. That's the process you do. And you keep doing that. Now, there's a limit to how far you can progress into the future. Because you get to a point where all probabilities are sort of equal. And you'll either see that by, you'll get two upright and two reverse base cards with second cards, and they'll contradict one another. This pair will say, yes, this a good thing like about this are going to happen, and this pair will say, no, not so good things are going to happen about this. That's one thing that can happen. Or you'll get cards like Death, Tower, World, Fortune, or Judgment, a bunch of those. In other words, cards that are not on the individual level at all, or the personal level, world level, higher level, principle cards. You get principles all up there, which means you're out of, you've gone as far as personal prediction can go. Now, you don't have to do your progressions. Say you've thrown your base reading and you need to go do something. You can put out your candles and leave the reading set up and come back and relight them and then do the progressions. But you don't want to wait beyond a day or so because your present starts to shift and then you'd have to throw a new base reading. And, of course, how far you go into the future with each line basically depends on the level of your reach, which is hard to identify initially, but you can, if you do a few of these progressions, and you, if you understand what they mean, and then you watch for the events to show up, that will tell you what your reach is. So any questions on that?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice way to extend the reading forward. And then the whole idea, of course, is if there are things that are being forecasted that are not favorable, then change something in the present, because a small change in the present creates a larger change in the future. along the lines of what is not favorable, of course, I'm talking about. Okay, so when you regress or go into the past, the process is much the same, except in this case, you pick up the future line and you move the present up to the future and the past to the present. And through that same process, then, of shuffling and dividing into three stacks and so forth, you throw a new past line. And then you can continue, of course, to do that, to throw past lines. Now, there is not a thing called a past line reach, even though in your notes it says so, so you need to take that out. Let's see where that is. That's in section 3, after the bullets, there's a paragraph that says, using regressions, you can walk your readings all the way back to the beginning of creation. You can also use regressions to examine past lives. Because your past is already set, you don't run into the same problem of equal probabilities that you did with progressed readings. You can regress a reading over almost any amount of time. The same rule of reach applies to regressions. That is, cross that out. That is not true. And that part which says your reach determines how far back in time your regression is. That is absolutely not true. Because the past, as we've already seen, is sort of self-determined. You can get double major arcana that reach back into other lifetimes and so forth. So it's not your reach. And also, whereas the future line tends to be on a fairly stable time condition. What I mean by that is, if your reach is about 30 days into the future, most of that future line will be about 30 days in the future, give or take. But the past line is rarely even in time distribution. So you have to watch and see. That's why I say it's good to do it on yourself, because you can identify the things. It was very clear. Let me read you your past line, the second regression in your reading was, Jennifer, was Magi, 2 of Dis, Judgment, 8 of Dis, 9 of Wands, Fortune, and Ace of Wands versus Queen of Dis. So there was a lot of power going on for you. See, Judgment 8 of Dis said that you were able to pay attention to your spiritual knowledge and things that you've learned, magical trainings you had in other lifetimes, particularly in regard to that this is sort of like your sort of major, what we call a major work. You can call it career. Sometimes we call this a major work. In other words, something that is going to be very, very important in your life. And the Magi to this is kind of obvious, is that the study of magic became your choice of what was important to you in your mundane life right now at that time. And Nine of Wands, Fortune, said that this was just the right plan for you and that which would give you a lot of understanding and knowledge that would be a good foundation for you, and not just at the world plane, but in a total world or universal sense, meaning that this was a stepping stone from which you would go as high as you wanted to. Ace of Wands reverse, Queen of Discs, said that back at that time, you were not involved in, well, prior to those choices, you were not involved in any major use of your knowledge that was benefiting you, Queen of Discs. So, and that was just in two jumps, you know. So that got, went back a year. Now, you can very easily regress yourself back into your younger years, your teenage years. And, of course, you watch your court cards to identify that. You know, the knight would indicate, of course, the teenage years, and the page would indicate the younger years than that. But events, you look for events. Events that, they're not that difficult to identify. If you start thinking about some of the major events of your life, but they'll come up in the lines, and therefore you'll be able to know about where you are. And then at a certain point, you'll hit conception. And then, of course, you'll hit a period between life, and then you'll hit the loss of the body in the last life, and then you'll enter the maturity or the ending years of the last lifetime and so forth. And so things that you look for to identify that is conception would be an upright page of any suit second carded by death, sun, or devil. cards that indicate beginnings, so to speak. For ending of a life, tower reverse, ace of discs, sun reverse, ace of discs, world reverse, ace of discs, any of these. World reverse, queen of discs, strength reverse, king of discs, high priestess reverse, death, any sort of combination like that. And then you watch for conditions in the prior life, and you can keep going back. And if you've got the time and the willingness, you don't have to do it all at once. You can go back lifetime to lifetime. Any questions on that?
No questions.
No.
Okay. Now, this is a neat deal. If you want to track, say you have a question, this person that I'm with or this person that I know, did I know them in another lifetime? And if there's a strong connection, there's a high probability that you did. If you want to find out how you knew them, what you do is you look through the deck for your signifier, and you look through the deck at the same time. Well, after you find yours, then you go back through and look for theirs. And you put, you key yours and put it up by the protection candle. And you key theirs, keying with the intention that it stay keyed throughout the readings, and you put it back in the deck. And then you start regressing readings, just like we've been talking about, and you do it until that their signifier shows up. And that, now you're looking to find their signifier in another lifetime, not in this lifetime, obviously. So if it comes up in this lifetime, just keep going. And then when it comes up in a past lifetime, you see all the conditions in the lines surrounding that, and that will give you sort of a mini story about what were you all, you know, what were the conditions of your relationships and so forth. And I'm not saying this isn't, you know, this is a lot of work. It's not difficult. It just takes time. I mean, I've done it 50, 60 regressions looking for something. So it takes time. Okay, we didn't talk about blow-up or expanded readings last week, so we will now. If you do a reading, and actually you can do this from a Celtic cross as well, or a 12th card, but you always do it in a 12th card reading. So say, I did one on Randy. Say you throw just a normal reading, and everything looks pretty good, but this one thing came up in the future in Randy's reading, Emperor Reverse, Ace of Discs, and I sort of understood it, that he would not do well in the future in the system, regarding his health and well-being in earth-type things. But I wanted to know more about what would that look like and what were the factors. So what you do is you put out the candles, you take that pair of cards. Your notes, a lot of times it says stack. Please change it to pair. It's not a stack of cards. It's a pair of cards. So you take that pair of cards. You don't have to even put it back on your plate unless you don't do it right then and there. But this should be done. It's best done right away. It doesn't have to be. You can do it later. If you don't do it right away, then when you come back, you've got to take that pair of cards, put it on your plate, key it as what they were in the reading, not separately, as a pair. And then put them to the right and on top of the original signifier. If you do it at the same time, you just take them up out of the reading and pop them down on top and to the right of the original signifier, pick up all the rest of the cards, put it in the deck, shuffle the deck, and then lay your three stacks, pick them up, and do a whole 12-card reading. And now what you've done is you have given yourself an expanded picture of that pair of cards and their effect on the person. Is that clear?
Yep.
So now if, for instance, in that new reading, Jennifer, was any question about that?
So you have to rekey the pair.
If you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you do that? What do you look for? You put them on your plate and you, what are you looking for there?
Just keying them to what they were in the reading before.
Okay.
These are the cards that were in the reading before.
Okay.
Just that simple. So now in this new blow-up reading, again, if there's a pair of cards you don't understand and you want more information, you can put them over on the right and on top of the last pair and do another blow-up. Now, theoretically, you can do that a number of times, but each time you do it, it gets harder and harder to read. Just because it's sort of outside of present time in a sense, in that it's not an actual reading, it's an expanded reading on something. So your ability to interpret goes downhill a bit. In fact, yeah, you can do flow lines on them. A lot of times I'll do them and just look for salient factors. Of course, I've been doing this for a fair time, so it would probably be easier for you all to do flow lines. But I just sort of summarize it to see if I get an idea of what were the cause and effects of that particular situation. But there's another time when you do these blow-ups that is very, very important. And this is, if you see, one of the values of the tarot and the decks that we use is it will tell you if someone is doing a spell against you or anyone else, depending on who you're reading. If you're reading yourself, and if you get a reverse priestess or a reverse magi, has to be base card, in the present or the past, not the future, present or past, this could indicate that someone has done or is doing a spell against you, and we're talking about an adverse spell. It would not come up if it were a good one. It would come up as a major or a priestess upright. Now, of course, you have to differentiate that between, is this a spell being done against me, or is this a situation where I should have or I now can do magic and I'm not? Where some magical act is needed in this situation and I'm not doing it. And the way you differentiate that is by meaning and flow lines. If the flow lines indicate that, and you may have to regress it if it's in the past, but if the flow lines indicate, well, let me put it this way. If someone's doing a spell against you, there would not be flow lines. At least, they would not be your flow lines. They would not be about you. And rarely would they actually, in a reading, I've never seen it happen that we start getting all kinds of information about what they're up to in the reading. It generally just doesn't happen. It comes into the reading to flag it, that, whoa, watch out, this is being done. And, of course, you don't know who's doing it. You don't know how powerful a spell it is. If it's in the past line, it could be an ancient spell that has followed you lifetime to lifetime. That is not real common, but it does happen. Now, the question is, so if you've identified that you have the spell against you, what do you do about it? Well, we have a very wonderful method for handling it. However, sometimes, if it's a fairly trained or highly trained magician doing it, they may disguise the spell. So instead of a priestess reverse or a magi reverse base card, you may get something like an ace of dis reverse priestess, or an ace of dis reverse magi, or a sun reverse, strength reverse, seven of swords reverse, anything disempowering you, tampering with you, chariot reverse, stuff like that, with a second card, priestess or magi, there's evidence of a spell, but you haven't found the spell. You've got to have it as a base card, reverse. So then what you have to do is you take that evidence card, pair of cards, say it's strength, reverse, magi, or strength reverse priestess, and you put it over on top of your signifier and start doing blow-ups, and you keep doing them until you get, well, you're using the magi, so you wait until you get the priestess reverse as a base card, second card above, whatever, and now you've found the spell. Because you can't do this process of what we call a spell send-back unless you actually have the spell. Evidence of the spell won't work. So you all with me so far?
Say that. You found your evidence and then you did what?
Well, your evidence, then you blow it up.
So you put it on your signifier and go backwards?
You don't go backwards, you blow it up.
Oh, that's right, you do a whole new, okay.
You do a new 12-card blow-up looking for the spell. And you may have to do 4, 6, or 8 of them to get it, depending on how well trained, how well disguised it is. But you'll get it. So, now, once you have it, you leave it on the table. You leave your signifier on the table. You pick everything else up. So, you can, if there are, in that blow-up, that particular one, if along with, say, oh, maybe it will be a priestess reverse ace of dis or priestess reverse Seven of Swords. It's something that definitely shows the action of the spell. But there may be other cards in that same reading that also show detrimental things regarding the spell, like a death reverse or a tower reverse, something, an ace of discs reverse, something, a ten of discs reverse, something, but obviously related to that spell. You can leave those on the table too. Not too many. You don't want more than about three or four pairs, because you can't have room for them. Two or three pairs, actually, would be about the most. Okay, so now you pick up all the other cards, put them back in the deck. Now, to do this process, you need some tools. Very simple ones. And they're in the notes. You need a pair of pliers. Electrician's pliers do really nicely because they have square jaws. A rubber band. A steel camping mirror. It has to be double-sided steel, shiny steel. They come about 4x6, I think. The little hole. The hole doesn't matter. Army Navy stores, in fact, on the school resources, there are places where you can buy these mirrors. And, of course, your Wisdom and Protection candle and your Athame. That's the tools you need. Okay. So when you've got your tools, you leave your signifier where it is, where it normally belongs. You take all the spell cards, the adverse spell cards, and you put them in the present line close to the Wisdom or far right. They cannot be past center line. Between the two candles. There you line them up on the right of center. And then you go through your deck and find the Sun card, put it on your plate, key it to just spiritual protection and spiritual help. Leave it on the plate. Light your candles, just like you normally would, Wisdom, Protection, and back. Take your Athame and do that same loop in electric blue that you did with the match. From Wisdom down, edged, flare edge down. Down over the cards to Protection and back over to Wisdom and put your Athame down. Take your mirror, put it right at the very long edge of the mirror in the jaws of the pliers so that if you lay the pliers flat on the table, the mirror will stand up long side on the table. You hold it way above the reading, dead center, and you chop, you don't have to do it fast, the entire reading in half, coming right down to the table on center line, so that the mirror should lay right between the two candles, and you just make sure that it's flat on the table, not cocked up. then you carefully slide the Sun card, upright of course, in on your signifier side of the mirror. So now everything is in a line between the two candles. You take your Athami and you start again at the wisdom side with electric blue, and you flare down right across the cards to the mirror and back up to wisdom, and then you go from protection to the mirror, flare down over those cards and back up to protection, and you're done. You let the candles burn for a half hour, record everything in your book of shadows, then after a half hour you blow the candles out. Now, what this does, this is called a boomerang or a sendback. What this does is it mirrors the spell back to whoever sent it. And it leaves no signature, so you can't be tracked. They'll never know who did this. And in fact, because most people who do spells would not recognize their own spell coming back on them, it kind of ties them up for quite a while trying to fight some spell that they think somebody's doing against them. If the doer is no longer in body, i.e. if this was in past time, it simply blows the whole thing out into the half worlds and it's dissolved, it's neutralized. So it's a very effective, very capable way of taking care of a spell against you or anyone else without any need to be concerned that somebody will know you did it. And you don't have to know who did it or anything else. So, questions?
Not from me.
Is this something common we ought to be aware of or expect, or just good information to have? Or
it's good information to have. Is it common? I would not say it is common. I would not say you're going to be running into this all the time, but I would say that probably in the time of your studying magic and these courses, you will probably run up against it, if you do readings. If you don't do readings, you'll never know. But if, like most people do, if you do sort of checkup readings on yourself every month or so, every other month, whatever, that's a good way because, yeah, if it happens, if somebody's doing it, then you pick up on it. It's not real. There was a period of time back in time when this sort of stuff is real common. People were throwing spells all over the place at one another. That was a long time ago. It's not real common now, but the more trained you are, the more visible you are to certain folk.
Okay.
And you know, unfortunately, we have discovered that, well, what's the difference between prayer and a spell?
The force put on it?
Well, yeah, I mean that hopefully, done right, a spell has more proper focus and more direction to it and so forth, and more energy. But supposing you get somebody who for some reason decides they don't like you or they don't like you a lot, and they take it upon themselves to wish you dead or wish you harm or wish you bad luck or whatever, and they do it a lot. That's a spell.
Okay.
It isn't a very good one. But that's the kind of thing that you would want to pick up on a reading and send back. Or if you're going along in your life and you're doing everything what you feel is very appropriate and all of a sudden weird things start happening, I'd do a reading right away. Because that might be an indicator of somebody doing bad mojo, you know. I mean, you'd be amazed at how many people buy books or go on the internet or, you know, these movies that have, Steven Seagal movies back away a while, a lot of them were about, passe, that Haitian magic.
Yeah.
Well, people see that stuff and they do it. They don't know if it's right or not. But actually, I'll tell you, in that one, forget if it was Hard to Kill or which one it was, where they showed this, it was all a bunch of Rastafarians that were doing terrible things to people and they were selling drugs. I don't know if you all saw that movie or not. But there was a scene where a Haitian lady was sought to try and kill this real bad, like I say, Rastafarian or Jamaican or Haitian, whatever he was, who was doing all this evil. So she does this thing where she takes a mouthful of rum and spits it on a chicken and on his picture, and then she takes the chicken and guts the chicken, bleeds the chicken onto the picture and stuff like that. That's all real. That's actually exactly the way they do it. Of course, and she said some very brief verses or verse or so in Spanish, but it was pretty understandable. It was muerte, which is obviously kill. They didn't get the verses exactly or whatever, but people copy this stuff.
You know, I've read where Jennifer Lopez, that movie star.
Sure.
She's doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they said she's into the sacrificing of animals and stuff. That's all they said. It's just real quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everyone was teasing her about her big rear end for a while, and then all of a sudden, she's the ideal woman.
Mm.
I've thought that.
Well, it's hard to say, you know, with hearsay, what's involved, because, Yoruba, now African magic is a bit different, and there's probably many forms, but the forms that I've studied are Congo and Yoruba. And in Yoruba, it is quite acceptable in the spring, for instance, to raise a goat, well, you don't raise it in the spring, but I mean you raise it to be ready in the spring to then sacrifice and in a very sacred way and then roast for the feast of Fairy Ogun, the fire maker. And then of course you do before you, well, along with that whole process, you do a 1, 2, or 3 day ritual dance of Fairy Ogun's dance, where you are danced by Fairy Ogun and so forth. But you see, that's a lot better than the cattle that we get for beef that are slaughtered mindlessly in all terror and so forth. So you have to be careful when somebody says, oh, they're sacrificing animals, as to what is the actual thing that's going on.
Good point. But it insinuated, or I don't remember it all that clear, but that it was to promise her career or promote it or whatever.
Right. And that of course, is breaking rules of the road. Whereas the other is not. Or else we're all breaking rules of the road every time we eat beef or chicken or anything else.
Not me, I don't eat that.
Are you vegetarian?
Just the only meat that I eat is seafood.
Uh-huh.
So not a true vegetarian.
So sacrificing an animal for more than to eat is breaking rules of the road.
Well, no. It depends. I can't. If sacrificing an animal for personal gain is breaking rules of the road.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can't cover all situations. I mean, there may be I think a big part of the equation is not only what is the ritual and what is it for, but do you use the animal? You know, for food. You know, because we're, well, the law of the universe is eat and be eaten. It's only that you don't realize that they're eaten too. And they have no clue as to what eats them. They even suspect they're eaten. But we'll study that in a future course. So, I really strongly urge you all to try a few of these techniques so that you understand them, and if you have questions, you can ask about them, and particularly these regressions and progressions. Blow-ups are pretty easy. You can try them if you want to, but I'm particularly about the regressing and progressing, because we'll do that in spell work coming up. Ooh, a golden eagle just flew by my window. Not a golden, a bald. Sorry. So, are we good to go?
I guess so.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you both.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you. I will. You too.
All right.
Don't let yourself be pulled off your center, okay?
Okay. I feel better now than I did when we started this.
Well, that's good.
I feel a little energized.
Good. And thank you, Jennifer, for all your input, too.
I just seem to try things. I'm not real sure yet.
Well, that's good to do. Okay, you guys. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello?